God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is Sunday, the 11th day of March, 2012, and you're listening to our morning worship. Our sermon is taught by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. It is entitled, Blessed Are the Meek. So thanks for listening, and we know you'll be blessed from the preaching of God's Word.
Down here we deal with trouble. Sometimes the days get dark. We're dealing with this and dealing with that. The pain goes straight to the heart. But someday the things we encounter will pass like the winter to spring. This old world may deal disappointment today, but soon all our dealing will change, and we'll be dealing with
mansions, dealing with gold, dealing with things never dreamed in this world below.
And we'll be dealing with
laughter ever after, in that glorious home of the soul, dealing with everyone being together forever in heaven, while we're dealing with gold.
I knew my grandpa missed her. She'd been gone for a while. He was dealing with this and dealing with that, but Grandpa had lost his smile. You see, Grandma had gone on before him, but he must keep dealing on, till one day followed and he too crossed over. Now together they're dealing with gold, and we'll be dealing with
mansions, dealing with gold, dealing with things never dreamed in this world below.
And we'll be dealing with
laughter ever after, in that glorious home of the soul, dealing with everyone being together forever in heaven, while we're dealing with gold.
And we'll be dealing with
laughter ever after, in that glorious home of the soul, dealing with everyone being together forever in heaven,
while we're dealing with gold.
Dealing with gold. Dealing with gold.
Amen. Thank you, Patrick family. Appreciate that. And their investment in our music ministry. Praise the Lord. Good stuff. Well, Jose is gone. Some people have asked, where's Jose? Something about wanting to see a fiance, prepare for a wedding. I don't know what his problem is. But he flew back. He'll be back Thursday. And use the excuse of having to get measured for a tux. You can do that here. You can. But anyway, they're back there finalizing everything. And he goes back in May, gets married. That brings Missy back. And as I said in Sunday school, we want to, of course, be prepared for that. Welcome them back. It'll be a new adjustment from her, for her, coming from California to Oklahoma. And but we're excited about it. She's excited about it. And I know you'll accept them. It'll be a blessing. Boy, I want to thank the choir. Good job. And I appreciate everybody getting involved in choir. And our choir has grown. And we praise the Lord for that. It's good to see people taking some time to sing unto the Lord and raise their voices unto God. And I think that's so important. We'll be doing it in heaven for a long time. Yeah, I get to sing too in heaven. That's right, folks. That's right. Mark it down. So keep that in mind. But it's been good, and we appreciate that. Just another quick reminder about Discovering Church membership tonight at 4 o'clock. And you'll want to be a part of that small Bible study atmosphere. but it'll be good. It really will. Well, Brother Asbury, if you'll come up at the end, sir, in case I forget. I get preaching, I forget everything else. People give me announcements. I don't know why they do that. Because once I'm done, I'm done. But Brother Leo, give us some announcements. And Brother Asbury, if you'll close us in prayer, explain a little bit about tonight. That'll be good here at the end of the service. Well, we're going through Thy Kingdom Come and preparing for God's kingdom. So we're in the book of Matthew, the kingdom book. And Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. Why don't we stand as we once again get into the Beatitudes. A little reminder, the Beatitudes are not for unbelievers. There have been those, as we discussed a couple weeks ago, who have said, boy, it'd be a utopia on earth if we would just implement these character traits and people would live by them. There's a problem is you can't unless you possess Jesus Christ. And so it creates an issue. So primarily these attributes were given to the church that believers would begin to implement and emulate these things in their lives that we might be light in a dark world. It is something the world needs, but we only have power through Jesus Christ to accomplish them. And if you are saved, you can accomplish them. And so we've looked at them. We'll read them again. Matthew chapter 5, as we will each week, beginning in verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's where it begins, the way that we view ourselves. Blessed are they that mourn. And we talked about mourning over sin, for they shall be comforted. And today we'll talk about blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And then blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Lord, help us to truly, Lord, have the character traits that would mark what you would want out of your children. Lord, that as we prayed for little Chloe, that, Lord, we as well would grow up to be all that you want us to be. And Lord, you give us a list here of things we should be working on, of things that we can attain through your power. And as believers, Lord, help us to do that, so that we can honor you and be a light into a lost and dying world, as it says later on in this chapter. We thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. By far, one of the most beloved Bible characters was a man by the name of Moses. If you know anything about the Bible, you know Moses. You know his name. Revered not just among Jews, but against believers as well. Accordingly, he wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, a very influential leader, did many great things. We first pick him up in a very unique situation. All the children, of course, are being put to death, and so he's put out into a river floating away and picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. You remember the story. He becomes a child, the son of Pharaoh. What a prominent position. And yet in that position, as he grows up, Hebrews 11 tells us he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. He said, I want none of that. I want to be associated with God. Grew up in prominence, grew up in money, grew up in wealth. And yet he turned away from that and wanted to do what God wanted. And while in that situation, you remember, he comes across his brethren, the Jews. And there's a fight taking place. And as he notices this fight between a Jew and this Egyptian ruler that is over them and beating this Jew, he jumps in, kills the Egyptian, buries the Egyptian. He takes things into his own hands at that time. It's found out, and you know the rest of the story. He flees for his life. God sends him to Midian, and as he's out there in Midian, he meets a girl. And they get married, and he pretty much thinking that's his life. He'll live there. And as an older man, he's going up a hill one day, and you remember the story. As he's walking up the hill, all of a sudden, there it is, a burning bush. And as we look at the burning bush, God talks to him and says, man, I want you to go do something for me. He thought, man, I'm done, I'm over, I've blown it. And God says, no, you haven't. By the way, aren't you glad God gives us another chance sometimes? And only God can do that, by the way. And I wouldn't take that chance on my own. I would definitely trust the Lord. But God is wonderful at saying, hey, I want to use you in a great way. So he does. And he comes to pass, and he begins to use him. And as he does, he begins to send him out. He goes back to Pharaoh. You know that story. 10 times he comes with a plague. 10 times he comes and he says, hey, let my people go. 10 times Pharaoh says no. Finally, in the last one, they take off. He's leading almost 2 million people, depending on which commentator you read, 1 to 2 million. He's leading them across the desert. This is his life. I mean, he goes from floating in a river to running for his life to now leading a nation out into a promised land. What a life it is. At one point, they're stopped, and they're waiting for that final location. He goes up in a mountain to talk to God. Remember that? And at that time, he comes down, and the people are in sin. I mean, they're naked. They're worshiping a false calf that they made with their own hands. In anger, he takes those Ten Commandments, throws them down because he's so upset, breaks them. And then back up the mountain, he goes to write them again. Later on, again, he's got a situation where he's trying to lead these people. And you remember that part of the story as well. He's supposed to speak to a rock and water is going to come out. Another part of his story. But instead, he gets upset and he takes a rod and he whacks it twice. And God at that point says, wait a minute. Because you did that and did not follow my instructions, you won't go into the promised land. Now, we can elaborate on this story. I'm taking some liberty to hopefully that you understand a little bit about Moses. And this is why. We're studying meekness today. And I just explained to you sometimes where a man got very upset. Where a man got very angry. As a matter of fact, to be quite honest with you, Moses had a temper. You say, how do you know? Did you not hear what I just said? I mean, if you study a story, as great of a man as he was, he had a temper. And yet when you read this, say the meek shall inherit the earth, you try to think of someone who was meek, and you go to Numbers chapter 12, and the Bible says this in verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek. You mean the guy who killed the Egyptian? Uh-huh. You mean the guy who got so upset he broke the Ten Commandments? Yep. You mean the guy who, instead of speaking to the rock, got so mad at the children of Israel, he smote it twice? That's the guy. God, not us. God says, now this man was very meek above all men which are upon the face of the earth. And so as I looked at this, I said, you know what? We may have a misinterpretation about what God wants out of meekness. You say, what do you mean? When I think of meekness, I don't think of someone with a temper. You know, we're thinking somebody humble and Gentile and all that kind of stuff. And yet here's a man who had a lot of passion, a lot of anger, and we would probably on our own not vote him as the meekest man on the face of the earth. But God came in and said, oh, no, he is. And so my question is, well, then what in the world is meekness? Well, that's what we're going to find out today. You see, I think today we need to understand what true biblical meekness is all about. As we delve into our passage, we see it's the third character trait that God wants us to have. And I think we need to understand it. There's many definitions you've heard. It does mean someone who's humble. You've probably heard meekness is strength under control. But I began to look at it and say, I get that, and I understand the humility aspect, and I do think that's a part of it. And I understand strength under control, and I think that's a part of it. But I think there's some deeper parts that we sometimes have missed. You say, why? Well, when I look at Moses, and I look at this man that did these acts, and God even judged him for them, and yet still called him meek, it intrigues me. And I'm like, well, then what was it? So I looked up a guy by the name of Barnes, and this is what he said. He said, to be meek is this. Meekness is patience in the reception of injuries. It is neither meanness nor a surrender of our rights nor cowardice, but is the opposite of sudden anger of malice, of long-harbored vengeance. In other words, meekness in one of his primary categories is this. A man who is patient. Now, wait a minute. Even though he had a little bit of a temper problem, could we say that Moses was patient? You bet he was. You said, why? I mean, come on, 10 times he goes to Pharaoh? 10 times? He's traveling for 40 years in the wilderness with this nation of Israel? And then, at the height, when his whole life has been about going to the promised land, God comes to him and says, you don't go. He says, okay. Wow. I mean, this man suffers all of this in his life, goes through all these things, but he patiently accepts whatever God brings his way. This morning, you know what we need back in Christianity? Patience. Meekness in a way that says this, I'm willing to wait on God. You know what we don't have in today's society? Patience. I mean, come on. I got irritated just yesterday driving to the church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. He said, how do you do that? Because there's some people, got to watch my wording, that don't know how to drive. I have to bring this up periodically because you need to understand. When there's two lanes, the left lane is for me. The right lane is for everyone else. Yeah, I think you know what I'm talking about. Those of you on your cell phone having a Sunday drive on Saturday in the left lane, move over! That's for people who pass and can drive good. Anyways, I digress. I'll move on. We're so impatient. Yeah, seriously, I ran to Starbucks this week, and there was like three people in front of me. It about ruined my day. Three whole people. I had to wait like 7-8 minutes to get my drink. You know, I'm on a schedule. You know, I got things to get done. You know, I got to get this accomplished. We live in a microwave society, and by the way, praise God for microwaves. I'm now a gourmet cook. You didn't know that, did you? Oh, yeah. Me and Sam's Club are like this. I pull it out. I read the back of it. I put it in. I push some buttons, and I make some marvelous. Miss LaDonna, let it go, okay? She's a real cook going, I cannot believe he's saying this. She really cooks. I just push buttons, you know? You say, why? I don't have the patience to do what she does. I don't have the patience to sit there and make it all and put it all together. I want it now. Now, we live in that society. And some of that I love, I'm going to be honest with you. And I've adapted some impatience in those areas as well. But when it comes to God, here's the problem. Too often we've transferred that over to our Christian life. Man, we don't wait on anything. Seriously, we don't want to be patient for anything. We want it now. If we got a sickness, we're praying to God, we expect it within a week to be gone. I mean, if we're not healed in a week, we're like, really, what's going on, God? We begin doubting, we begin getting upset. If we pray for anything, it's like if it doesn't happen in our time frame very quick, suddenly, we lose it. We begin to abandon our faith sometimes. We begin to go our own way sometimes. All these things begin to develop. And yet God says, really, when you look at meekness, it's not just a guy who can control his temper, which is part of it, but it is a guy who patiently accepts what God brings their way. And I think when Jesus was saying, blessed are the meek, he was saying, you know what? Blessed are those who can patiently accept my will in their lives. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would. There's a very interesting few verses here that I always enjoy. It's good for us to be reminded of. We're going to go to a couple different places. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you'll put over there, we'll be there in just a minute. I'd like to read to you Psalms 37, and you can mark that one if you like to as well. But Psalms 37, 9 through 11, we'll mention a couple times. The Bible says, for evildoers shall be cut off. This is in Psalms 37, verse 9. But those that wait upon the Lord, now look at this, they shall inherit the earth. Now wait, it's good to let the Bible interpret itself. You see what I mean? And the New Testament says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Now we go to the Old Testament, and a similar verse says this, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Wait a minute. Could that mean, though, that those that wait upon the Lord are meek? I think so. Go on, verse 10. For yet a little while the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in abundance of peace. What? Those that wait upon the Lord, who? The meek, shall inherit the earth and live in peace. Why? Because they patiently waited on God. Oh, man, if anybody ought to know about waiting on God, it's born-again believers. Hey, wait, the world doesn't wait on God. Why? They know not God. But you and I ought to be people that say, you know what? I'm going to live my life by this book, these principles. And even when I don't see it right away or understand it right away, I know this, it works. And I'm patiently going to work it. And we need that back. Too often, people give God a month, 2 months, 6 months. If it doesn't work out the way they want, we're on our way. Folks, you don't understand. God cannot be put in a box. He works at his time and his way. Okay? And if you have patience, you'll be amazed at what God will do in your life. Over in the book of Peter, as we said, 1 Peter chapter 2. Take a look at this in verse 18. Some wisdom here for us that we need to take a look at. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. You ever have a rough boss? I remember growing up in Springfield, Missouri, and I'm convinced that my boss was a psychomaniac. I've never worked for a guy so weird in my life. I worked at Holiday Inn. The best part of the job was free pop. There was nothing greater than that job, that every day I got as much pop as I could digest. And I loved it. But anyways, outside of that, I worked for this guy, and he was in charge of the kitchen, and I was the dishwasher. And I remember coming in, and I'd be washing dishes, and he'd look at me and say, I need pots and pans. I run over to the pots and pans, start washing. I mean, 10 minutes later, how come the dishes aren't done? I'd go back to the dishes. I'd be over there, he goes, what are you doing over there? Finish the pots and pans. I'd go back to the pots and pans. I'm not exaggerating. And my whole thought was, he's lost it. The guy's a wacko. I remember going home saying, I am not going back to work. And Dad's like, you got another job? No, you're going back to work. okay, I'm going back to work. And I mean, every day was that way. I mean, he was mean. He was cantankerous. I hated every single minute, you know, but I needed a job. And so patiently, I learned to be patient at work. He goes on, he says, not only the foreword, but look what he says in the next verse. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Wow. For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently. I love that. You know, who cares if you're wrong? Really. You ever have a kid get in trouble? And they come and admit it. Mom, Dad, well, yeah, I was out past curfew. I lied to you. And just want you to know that I'm willing to take this patiently. Good. Because I'm going to beat the living daylights out of you. Wait, I'm being patient about this. Be as patient as you want. You're still going to get it. You know, really, you know there's no praise for that. And maybe they're grounded for a week, whatever your discipline is, and they come back and say, you know what, I didn't complain the whole week I was grounded. I should get a button for not complaining all week. I did everything Mom and Dad said. I was just a perfect angel while I was grounded. What were you grounded for? Lying. Did you deserve it? Yes, I did. Then why would I give you a button? Because I didn't complain. Good. You shouldn't complain. What are you saying, preacher? The simplicity of it is, really, if you do wrong and get caught in trouble, who cares? I don't care how good you are. I was thrown in prison for 2 years, preacher. I was a model prisoner. What'd you do? I robbed my company. What do you want for that? Well, I think I should get a button or something. Really? You see what I'm saying? That's so ludicrous. Nobody cares if you're patient when you deserve it. Really? You deserve it. However, you ever get in trouble and you didn't deserve it? Oh, I know it's everyone. I got it. Yeah, there are times, though. I mean, someone just kind of picks on you and you get attacked. You know what the God says? Now, wait a minute. Here's what he says. Take a look at it. He says, for what glory is it if when, verse 20, you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently. But if, when you do well and suffer for it. Now, look at this. Ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. And there's a couple points you need to understand. No one likes suffering. Nobody likes suffering. We are not people that enjoy to suffer. I'm going to tell you something right now. But when I look at this word meekness, you cannot get away from the connection of meekness and suffering. It is those who suffer. Because when you're suffering, it reveals your character. And meekness is usually revealed through suffering. It is when you're going through an illness. You're going through a tough time. You're going through financial pressure, relationship struggle. And in that time, you have done well. You have done right. But you're being taken advantage of. You're being slighted. Something bad is happening to you, and you don't deserve it. But you patiently trust in God. You patiently wait on God. You patiently allow God to work your life. He says, if when you suffer and you don't deserve it, now wait a minute, if you deserve it, just take it. Take it like a man, as they say, or a woman, take it like a woman. I mean, if you caused it, you know, really, seriously, I got to stop here. If you caused it, you just got to deal with it. I don't know what else to say. I can't tell you how often people do things wrong. And we want God to remove it, and yet we caused it. I mean, we make a mistake, and here's our thought. We make a mistake when we're 22, and it's still affecting us when we're 30, and we get mad at God. Whoa. If you make a mistake, okay, don't be crying and getting upset when you're paying for it longer than you want to pay for it. Okay, that's just life, folks. But that's not what we're talking about. Too often, we put all of our suffering in this category. Well, I'm suffering, and I don't deserve it. I'm under the impression that we deserve a lot more than we think we do. I don't know what it is about Americans and rights, okay? But we live in this, I don't deserve and rights. Folks, can I help you? Oh, man, we deserve so much worse than we get. There's not one of us sitting here that deserves what God does for us. We deserve things to fall apart in our face because we are wicked people before a holy God. And there's no one that can stand and say, not me, I'm good. Nobody's that good. There are none righteous, no, not one, my Bible says. So listen, can I just say this? If you've done wrong, okay, and it's not going away sooner than you thought it should go away, don't blame God, please. Could we stop blaming God as believers? That even though now I'm serving him, which is great, and now I'm doing good, that's grace, there's some things that you do that may carry consequences longer than you like. Now, God is a gracious God that may remove them in time. But if he doesn't, we have no right to blame him. No right to blame him. However, what happens when we really have done right? We really have done good. And we've gone by this book. And now I'm suffering. What do I do? Patiently hang on. Patiently. How long, preacher? I don't know. 6 months? Sounds good. 6 years? Sounds good. Do you remember some guy by the name of Noah who built an ark? Anybody remember how long? 120 years. You think he was harassed? You think maybe he was mocked? You think maybe he was teased? You don't think there was days that went by he said, I wish this would stop. You know what he did? In meekness, he kept building away. And one day it rained. And guess what? His meekness paid off. I think you could say he inherited the earth. Pretty literal interpretation there, huh? Yeah, he got everything. Now, wait a minute. What are you saying? I'm talking about something not popular in society today among any of us. And that is, sometimes, because you live in a wicked world, are you ready? You will suffer when you really didn't cause it. And that happens to people. I get this question all the time. Why do bad things happen to good people? That is such a common question. There are people today who refuse to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because of that, can I say it? Foolish question. You say, what do you mean foolish? Hey, we have no right to tell God what he will and will not do. We have no right to tell God what is just and what isn't just. But I hear this constantly. Well, why does good things happen to bad people? Hey, it's a wicked world. We live among sinners and we're part of them. Adam and Eve sinned and created a domino effect. And now it's almost 7,000 years later. We're looking at God saying, why did you do this? And God's going, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't do that. You all did. And now bad things do happen to good people. You say, well, what happens when bad things happen to good people? You patiently wait in the Lord. Good people get fired. Good people have their spouse walk out on them. Good people have bad things happen. And I mean terrible things happen. You say, well, what do I need? We need to develop meekness in our life. Well, what's that? Well, it's not that you're not going to cry or be upset. It's I need to patiently say, God, I trust in you. But they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to challenge us to develop patience in our life. Moses was a man with a lot of passion. But the neat thing is he was a patient man in that he followed what God wanted. Along that line, meekness also deals with peace. I read this from one author I thought was very interesting. In Psalms 37, we read that they would have peace, verses 9 through 11. Meekness not only produces patience, but it's revealed in peace. This is what he wrote. It comes from a heart too great to be moved by little insults. Now, do not miss this. It looks upon those who offer them with pity. He that is constantly ruffled, that suffers every little insult or injury to throw him off his guard and to raise a storm of passion within, is at the mercy of every mortal that chooses to disturb him. Did you hear that? You know what? If you are easily offended, I feel so sorry for you. You do not want to live that way. You say, why? If you are easily offended in this world, you are in a heap of trouble. Why? You would be a miserable person. You said, why? Because this world is wicked, and you're at the mercy of people that can push your buttons. You know one of the neat character traits that we see revealed out of meekness? Is there's a peace about meek people. Why? Because they're trusting in the Lord and not in men. And folks, when you're trusting in the Lord and not in men, besides being patient, you get a peace that passes all understanding. Great peace have they that love thy law. The Bible says nothing shall offend them. Hey, let me help you. If you're easily offended, I'm telling you a character trait you're missing. It's called meekness. You're thinking so much more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Well, I don't deserve this. And why do they do it? Whoa, 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 back the truck up. See, meek people understand this. I deserve nothing. Meek people understand this. Lord, are you ready? Whatever you bring in my path, I accept. Meek people are patient. Meek people don't get offended easily. They have an inward peace that God gives them because they develop the character trait of meekness. You say, well, how'd they develop that? They learn to wait upon the Lord. They learn to patiently wait upon the Lord. And there's a third thing that they get. See, meek people, and when you follow Moses, and oh, I wish we had time to detail all of him out. But when I really look at Moses and said, how could he be the meekest man on the face of the earth? I noticed his patience. You said, well, there's some time he was impatient, right? But for the most time, he was patient. And this I know. Do you remember when he smote the rock twice? And immediately, if we go back to that passage, God says, you will not go into the promised land. Did you see his reaction? It was this. Okay. Okay. You say, I wonder why God wants to have meekness. I'll tell you why. Besides the benefit of patience and peace in your life, a meek person is a person that's able to follow God's plan for their life. They willingly submit to God. Why do you think God would say, hey, be poor in spirit? And that way we can be saved and we look at ourselves in the right light. And then he goes on, he says, besides being poor in spirit, I want you to mourn. Cry over your sin. And then I want you to be meek. What's that? I want you to learn to follow me. You know what the call of a disciple is? Follow. Follow. Folks, you don't follow unless you're meek. You don't. Yeah. Nobody likes someone telling them what to do. We don't like that at all. Unless you're meek. Unless you're meek. Now, we don't like it here, but here's the problem. We really don't seem to like it here. You say, how do you know? Because for some reason, we don't like to follow what God has to say for our lives. And when Moses was called the meekest man on the face of the earth, besides patience that he had and this peace that was inside of him, he was a man that willingly submitted to God's plan every single time. And when God said go, he said okay. And when God said you can't go, he said, are you ready? Okay. And then God said, Moses is the meekest man on the face of the earth. Now, wait a minute. When God changes your plans, how do you react? When God changes your plans, how do you react? You see, as believers, let me help you. We ought to be followers of Almighty God. And when he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, he is saying this, blessed are those who are meek. Why? Because they're going to inherit these practical blessings. Now, there is a group called Jehovah's Witnesses who take this verse in Psalm 37, and they interpret it this way. They believe that 144,000 people will actually inherit the earth. Everyone else goes to heaven. I'm pretty sure that's what it is, yeah. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have heaven. And they actually take this verse and they say, well, the Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. So if you're really, really meek, you get to stay here. I have a couple problems with that. In Peter, God says he's going to destroy the earth. Yeah. Is that what you want to inherit? The meek shall inherit the earth and will burn forever. God bless you. That's not the interpretation. Matter of fact, when you go back and read that interpretation from Psalms 37, can I help you? In Psalms 37, when you go back and read it, every single author of Old Testament history says this. That was a phrase that we used, that the Jews used, just to talk about practical, physical blessings, inheriting the promised land. And so when God used it and brought it into the New Testament, he's saying, blessed are the meek. They will have practical blessings, not just up in heaven, but here on earth. God will provide them great things. Why? Because they patiently wait on God, and they follow God's plan. And I'm telling you, you show me any family that patiently submits to God and follows God. And I'm telling you, in time, you will see a very peaceful, happy family doing good right here in this earth. Why? Because they're following God's plans. We've got to quit doing something, folks. We've got to quit kicking and fighting against God. We got to quit going our own way and start following God. And when I look at Christianity today, I see way more kicking and fighting and screaming. You ever see that in a store? I mean, it's fun to watch if it's not yours. Yeah, it is. It's kind of, you know, it's sad and fun at the same time. But, you know, I've been at stores, and sure enough, I just read this last week. Did you read the story of the kid, family that was kicked off the airplane, JetBlue? Because the two-year-old, the mom was a pediatrician. That was funny. The mom's a pediatrician. Just read it a couple days ago. And the kid wouldn't sit down in the seat and buckle up, two-year-old, and kept causing a disturbance, going up and down. Just when they got her to sit down, the pilot said, kick him off the plane. People are like, oh, a gasp. How could you kick him off the plane? Do you want to ride with that? When I fly, no lie, when I'm sitting there waiting, there is nothing more discouraging than to see families with little kids. Now, don't get me wrong. I love little kids. That mind. Don't look pious. You're the same way. I know you love little Junior and little Sally, and it's wonderful, but really, I sit there going, I hope that's a good kid. And you're sitting there watching, they're like, I want something to drink. And I'm thinking, small container, canister, for 3 hours. And sure enough, you get on the plane, your next prayer is, Lord, may I be in the front and they be in the back. Praise God. You think the same way I do. And you know you've offended God when you get on the plane. And you walk to your seat, and right smack in front of you is Junior. And you're thinking, I have sinned. I've offended the Almighty God. What's your next prayer? Be merciful unto me, a sinner, O God. And put that kid to sleep. I love kids. But I like kids that mind. And here's this kid, would not sit down, wouldn't buckle their seatbelt. And they threw, and I don't know if they lost their tickets. I don't know how that works. Threw them off the plane. You know what I appreciate? I like to go and read reviews on that. I love that, you know. And I'll be honest with you, I was shocked. What I expected was, you can't do that. You know what the majority were? Amen. They didn't use that word. There was other words, but I like the amen. Amen. And people writing going, yeah, man, it's not fair and it's not right. Bingo. And then I thought, I don't know where they were going. See, family on vacation. But they were delayed because a two-year-old refused to follow. Now, we'd sit there and go, that's silly. And there's all kinds of arguments about parents should train better and all this kind of stuff. But it hit me. I'm preaching this message and it hit me. I go, you know what? Sometimes we act like two-year-olds spiritually. And we're crying, we're yelling, we're upset, and things aren't going our way in our life, and we're mad. Instead of patiently waiting on God and just trusting in Him and getting in this book, we want Him to answer now. And if He doesn't, we're mad. And we're mad at the pastor, and we're mad at the church, we're mad at God. Whoa. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know what meekness is? It's patiently accepting God's plan for your life and following God, regardless of your suffering, regardless of your pain, regardless of what He says to do. You say, yes, sir. And that's why Moses, who was a passionate man, had some anger issues. God says, but he's the meekest man on the face of earth. How? The guy broke the Ten Commandments, killed a guy. What? You calling God a liar? Or maybe we don't fully understand meekness. Because meekness, according to God, has to mean patiently following His plan. Why? Because that's what Moses did every single time. And because of it, God blessed him. And I want to challenge you this morning, as a believer, if you'll learn to patiently follow this book through ups and downs, God says, then you shall inherit the earth. Now, what it doesn't mean is that when you die, you get to come back and be king. That means God will give not only heavenly blessings, but temporal riches here on earth to those who wait upon the Lord and trust Him. Now, I don't know where you're at today, but can I challenge you? Whatever's going on in your life, most of us probably could use a little more meekness. We could probably use a little more patience in our life and trusting God. I'd say it's probably would be good for us if we would learn to just patiently follow this book. And then all these things shall be added unto us if we'll do that. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for your word. Or those who do not trust in you, Lord, will not understand following you. The message wasn't in that purpose. And yet, Lord, if there is somebody here today that's never put their trust in you and does not understand how to get to heaven, even though the message was not along that line, Lord, we would love to still take them aside even after service and explain to them what the kingdom of heaven is all about and how to get in. But, Lord, for those who are believers who have put their trust in you, as you go through these Beatitudes, Lord, this great Sermon on the Mount, as it's called, and you list the character traits that ought to be in believers today, you bring us to this place called meekness. Patience, patiently submitting to you in a peaceful way. That no matter what comes our way, Lord, we will endure the grief and submit to your will because we trust that you're in control. Or this is the meekness. Sure, it's strength under control. Sure, it includes humility. But Lord, the real center of it is the fact that we patiently submit to you. Help us to do so, Lord, and accept your will in our lives as we ought to, so that we can be lights in a dark world. Pray to be with your people, Lord. Those that need to come, Lord, maybe pray for a little more patience. Maybe you've spoken to them in a very specific way. May they come and present that to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's spoken to you. He challenged you to come. Page 154, Jesus is calling. Invitation is just a time to talk to the Lord. If you need to do that, this is the time. As we sing, page 154, Jesus is calling.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. Calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam?
We need to patiently wait on the Lord in our lives. Give Him time to work. Trust that He'll do what He said He will do. That is true meekness. No no matter how long it takes. We believe his book. We'll wait on his book. We'll let him do what he's going to do in our life. Good way to get it is just ask for it. Lord, please give me meekness. Please help me to find meekness in my life. As we sing, you come.
Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today,
calling today.
Bring him thy burden, and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling.
Meekness is not abandoning God, abandoning church. It's waiting on God to provide, waiting on God to take care of us.
Jesus is waiting.
That's biblical meekness.
Come to him now, waiting today, waiting today. Come with the sins at his feet lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. Calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
I think something we all need a little more of, a little more meekness, a little more patiently waiting on the Lord, submitting to what his will is. In this very fast-paced, give-it-to-me-now society, it's not something that we think a lot about, but it's important. It really is. So I hope you'll develop that in your life and let God work. It'll pay off. The rewards that'll come for that are very clear in the Word of God, and we didn't spend a lot of time on that, but it's very clear in God's Word. Amen. Well, I hope you come back tonight. Brother Lee's going to come and give us a few announcements, and then Brother Asbury's got an announcement. He was in our Sunday school about estate planning. And you'll want to come back tonight and get a review on that and hear the rest of that. That'll be really good. DCM at 4 o'clock. And even if you didn't sign up, we want you to come. Maybe you forgot about it. That's okay. It'll be worth it. Small, close group. We'll chat together a little bit and tell you what we believe and where we're going and all that kind of stuff. And then, honestly, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, not sure how to go to heaven biblically, catch me afterwards. Myself, one of the men, or one of our ladies can sit down and talk with you. We'd love to show you what the Bible says. Amen. Believe.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, God bless you. Have a great week, and thanks again for listening.